Creekside with Don and Jan. Welcome to Creekside with Don and Jan. If you care to live in harmony with nature and the land, and you wish to live more peacefully with all your fellow man, if self-reliant living is a big part of your plan, if you like to talk some politics with those who really can, this is the time, this is the place, Creekside with Don and Jan. Sit right down and make some space, Creekside with Don and Jan. Let's get started right away, Creekside with Don and Jan. No more singing, no delay, Creekside with Don and Jan.
Well, howdy and welcome to another episode of Creekside with Don and Jan. Hi, I'm Don Stover.
And I'm Jan Stover, and this is episode 316 on February the 17th, 2019, and we're recording from our studio in downtown Greenville, Illinois.
The official podcast of the Owl Creek Gazette.
It sure is. And we've got a special guest with us tonight, a return guest.
Yeah.
So, Don, you want to do a little introducing?
A repeat offender, we used to call him as it goes. Yeah. Our guest is Gary Kenneth, and he's been instrumental in industrial hemp production here in Illinois, or at least working to get the legislation in line to do so. Gary's been self-employed in production ag for over 40 years in the Edwardsville area. He's been involved in both crop and livestock for many of those years, focusing the past 12, 14, 16 years with corn and soybean production. In addition to his ag business, Gary's been active in the community, serving as chairman of the Madison County Young Farmers Association, trustee for Pin Oak Township for 12 years or better, and you had 35 years with the farm board over there in Edwardsville. So that's really darn cool. And you also formed another company called Omni Ventures.
Correct.
that was focused toward
value added agriculture.
About
20 years ago, I guess we started that.
And that was other things that people could do whenever prices were generally low, places that they could turn to increase their
on-farm
their profitability, as being a farmer, a reason to stay farming, for example. Gary Kenneth, welcome to the show again, and thank you for being here. Last time it was on the telephone, but now we've got you in person. So
live
and in the body.
Well, and Gary, you and
Jeff Gain.
We're featured speakers at our Self-Reliance Exposium back in 2016, and we featured in the magazine, and we really were interested in kind of updates from what has happened in the possibilities of growing hemp right here in Illinois. So we thought with all the legislation and action going on, now is a good time to bring you back for those updates.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good. I appreciate both of you having me here on the air, and we can go through whatever questions you might have. I guess I'll try and answer them to the best of my ability. There's some of them that is still up in the air because some things haven't been finalized, but we can touch on that. And then
what, the government hasn't completed everything, so we know exactly what we get to do and not do.
The first time that's ever happened.
Well, yeah, and the government, has got this problem where they had they classified the entire genus of Sativa. Cannabis to everything was bad status. Right. Absolutely everything is bad. So now anything that looks like it and has an odd number of leaves is now potentially a reason to arrest you.
And so that's the battle you've been fighting and recognizing that you wanted to grow hemp for all the reasons you're going to talk with us about. So
that's a key point that you just touched on there, Don. In fact, that was one of the early struggles, which we had talked about before, as far as being able to grow industrial hemp in Illinois. And back in 2000, our Omni Ventures group lobbied, along with other groups, very strongly the General Assembly in Springfield to try and get an industrial hemp research bill at that time put through to see if it would be feasible to economically grow it. And two times it came up, both times the General Assembly approved it, both times. Mm. But our infamous Governor Ryan at that time vetoed it the first time. And then we went through it again, made a couple little changes they made in the bill, the legislature did, and it still wasn't enough for him. So he went ahead and vetoed it a second time, and his main reason for that being was the fact that it was a stalking horse, he felt, for the legalization of marijuana in the state of Illinois, which now, as you well know, a lot of states are legalizing marijuana, you know, and I don't want to get into that subject because that's a whole another one.
But, that's another can of worms.
But, you know, that was his main reason back then, and so that's why it just kind of died right there because of that. You know.
Well, what is the current status of growing industrial hemp in Illinois, and who can grow it if it can?
At this point, you can't grow it. I mean, because we're still going through the procedures and the rules and regulations. But if you remember back in August, Governor Rahner, well, the General Assembly passed the Illinois Hemp Farming Act for Illinois back in May, I think it was, end of May? Yeah, I believe it was.
Okay.
And then it was 3 months later at the DuQuoin State Fair where Governor Rahner signed the bill into legislation, the Hemp Farming Act. And from that point, then it took 120 days the Department of Ag had to put together rules and regulations, which is the proposed rules that we're going to get to a little bit later, some things I'll touch on. But they had 120 days to put those together. And that started the time, the clock ticking to the end of December. And that was about the same time that the federal farm bill went through, if you remember. Mm-hmm. Back 2018, that was signed into law by President Trump. And that included in it the Hemp Farming Act of 2018, which has got the umbrella now for all the states that have to put their own legislation together, but they have to fall under those guidelines and keep all that in place.
Okay.
And so that was signed on. And so we then that started the first 40-day, 5-day comment period, which just ended here about a week ago, I guess February 11th. And several people up there testified, organizations and different ones. We had a representative from our group, Dan Cheater, that went up there and testified. But we also submitted on a, it was like a 8-page document, and we went through it word by word and made our recommendations and changes to a lot of the things that we thought were serious concerns for people looking at wanting to grow this crop. And all that's been submitted now to the Department of Ag, and now the Joint Administrative Staff will have time to review this for a short period of time, I hope. And then possibly there could be another 45-day comment period after that.
Oh, goodness. Okay.
So by that time, we're probably looking at somewhere around the first part of April is what everybody's thinking before we could officially know if we'll be able to put a crop out this year, which probably possibly might, some people might, but it's going to really cut us down on the time factor because of the fact that you've got a 90-day period there where you've got to put your application form in to apply, and then that's got to be looked at by the Department of Ag, and they've got to go through and approve whether you're going to be able to grow it or not, and that you're not in violation of one of the clauses in the proposed rules is like anybody that's been convicted of a felony in the last 5 years cannot grow industrial hemp. And there's other stipulations in there, too, which all, as I said, they're all detailed. And if you go on the Illinois Department of Ag website, anybody can go there and look up the proposed rules, and you'll see the first round, which is what we just submitted our comments on. So it's going to change over the course of the next 45 days, hopefully. But there's other stipulations in there, too, that you have to abide by. And as we've talked about before, the fees are just phenomenal. There's an application fee of a couple hundred dollars. There's a then you get that application. There's a licensing fee of $1,000, and there's a an alteration fee if you decide to alter some of the acreage where you total them. If you don't have the exact coordinates, GPS or whatever, there's another fee for that. And there's other fees besides that, too numerous to count at this point, but that was one of the big concerns about a lot of the individuals and organizations is these fees is just, you know, just going to get people off to a deficit start in this crop right away before they ever get a seed out in the ground.
Or make it absolutely prohibitive to even consider growing it.
Well, so, you know, you mentioned, too, earlier off mic that you recently had some difficulty getting together your industrial hemp association, the Illinois Industrial Hemp Association, even getting a checking account until after the U.S. Farm Bill was passed. Tell me something about that.
Yeah, that's
because you started this back in 2016.
Yeah, when we first
starting a company
was right after we was right here. About the time we was at your first at your expo there back in 2016, we started a couple months before that, worked with an attorney and drafted up our bylaws and articles of incorporation, worked on it quite extensively for over a year probably, and finally got that finalized in August of 2017. We sent our paperwork off to the state of Illinois, and so we officially got organized as the Illinois Industrial Hemp Association now, and we're registered with the state of Illinois. So we thought we could be in the situation to start, you know, looking for membership.
Mm-hmm.
And then we ran into the checking account situation where we could not get a checking account set up for the simple fact that our name, Illinois Industrial Hemp Association, includes the word hemp in it. And because of the FDIC regulations and rules, a lot of the banks, most of the banks, well, all the banks we talked to, even our local farm banks that a lot of us have been with for years, was afraid to give us a checking account because it contained the name hemp in it.
You know, and that's interesting. It still shows the lack of understanding between hemp and marijuana. It still shows that there are stigmas, legal issues, and just personal and private stigmas. And I think about, you're talking about how you can't grow the crop if you've had a felony charge for the last, what, five years. That'd be like saying, if you really look at freedom and you really look at farming, you can't grow corn because you've been a felon, you know, in the 5 years. So you see that
because everybody knows that corn is used to make whiskey.
Because they can make whiskey out of corn.
So when you think about the ridiculous...
That's all you can do with it.
The ridiculous thought of that shows that there's still that false stigma and still that legality issue that really someday we hope will be completely off the table.
So the Farm Bill, the U.S. Farm Bill...
And when the Farm Bill went through, as I mentioned earlier, at the end of December, it was signed by President Trump. And in it is called what's called... Hemp Farming Act of 2018, which is Senator McConnell, who's the majority senator in Washington, and he's from he's from Kentucky, of course. And so he was really pushing for this, has been for quite a while, him and some other colleagues. And so they got that through. And once the Hemp Farming Act of 2018 got put into the Farm Bill, that kind of erased some of the concerns for whether the bank industry or whatever for some of these people. Now that it's been approved on a federal level, there's going to be less concern that they'll have with the FDIC rules. I'm not saying that all banks still won't have some concern with that, but a lot of them will have less of a concern now. Mm-hmm. And so then, since then, in the last about 10 days, we've been able to get a checking account set up now. So we finally got – but that's been, again, when we first started on this, like we mentioned before, the beginning of 2016, spending all this time to draft our rules and regulations and getting them finalized and then getting them done and then getting them sent off to the state and getting registered – we're looking at, you know, a 3-year time frame, actually, if you want to look at it from the beginning, from that time till this point. And still, in the last year and a half, has just taken us to get a checking account because of the stipulations in there and because of some of the nonsense and the misunderstanding that a lot of people have. I mean, you know, we know the fact that with industrial hemp, it's point, and that's what's stipulated in these rules, too. It has to be under 0.03% THC. That's the key. And you can't, if you grow it, and when they do all these inspections, which there's more fees for all that and stuff, and then you've got so many days to correct or to find something else to do with it. If it's otherwise, it just gets burnt. The crop gets burnt if it's over that 0.03%. But you know, marijuana is anywhere. I've heard ranges anywhere from 6 to 7, up to 30% THC. You know, so this 0.03%, just because it's got the name hemp in it, cannot be compared to marijuana in any way. And I don't know how anybody with any common sense would even try and make that connection. Well, but that's how sad it is.
It is sad. And we have spent probably one issue a year in the magazine writing about the difference between industrial hemp and marijuana, with the headlines reading, "Hemp is not marijuana."
Right.
And so, you know, a lot of people have done that. And that education is starting to pay off that everyone's been doing. But, man, to put you on hold, really, for 3 years to move forward with trying to get membership, which means then you have funds to move forward, is really a problem for you.
Yeah, it is very much, you know, and some of our membership, I mean, we've been working on these kind of projects for 20 years, not all devoted to industrial hemp, but we did grow canaf for several years early on because we couldn't grow hemp, and it's a very similar fiber crop, so we wanted to get familiar with it, hoping that someday, and this was back in the early 2000s, we did this hoping that someday we would be growing hemp, and I thought back in those days, early 2000s, we'd be growing, have a chance at it a lot sooner than we do right now. But here we are, you know, and still having to fight these obstacles. And a lot of guys have just given up on it, you know. And, of course, some of them have passed on, you know. And there's older guys that we had in our group. You know, 20 years is a long time. And,
it is.
Well, I heard somebody over in your neck of the woods was actually arrested because they had canaf growing. And it was a misunderstanding because the sheriff or whoever, the deputy, didn't realize that it was not marijuana, but they called out the guard for this. Is that what happened?
Yeah, that's very true. That was back when, like, we had a multi-year grant from the Department of Ag and the Conservation 2000 in the state of Illinois, and we grew canaf for 3 years. About 6 or 7 of our individual producers grew the crop, and a couple of them had it right along the road. You know, and kids would see that. People would see that, not just saying kids, but people, and they thought that it was marijuana because we planted 4 different varieties of canaf, and 2 of the varieties had the exact same leaf structure that marijuana varieties have. So they're thinking that it was
a whole field of marijuana.
Yeah.
A cash crop, yeah.
A cash crop. And so they're out there, or they wanted to get it and harvest it and maybe, you know, make something out of it, you know. But anyway, we had to the cops called out there then and called some of our guys up and asked them what was going on here. And so then we had to explain to the law enforcement, which was fine. They accepted it, you know, and understood it. But then we had to put up signs from that point on that this is not industrial hemp. This is CANAF, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, and still, so everybody, you know, makes an assumption and then winds up just making what assumptions stands for, right?
And that's what's happened to this whole industry here, you know. Yeah, assumption. Mm-hmm. And we know what the assumption starts with, you know. Mm-hmm.
Well, listen, we're going to take a short break here and we'll be back right after this message from Thaddeus Freed.
Hello, my name is Thaddeus Freed, candidate for Salem City Council. In the early part of the 19th century, there was a severe drought in northern and central Illinois. But because of its fertile reserves, southern Illinois became known as Little Egypt, and Salem, the gateway to Little Egypt. Today, our state is in bad shape financially, but Salem, again, is strong. Let's be the leader our state needs and show Springfield there's a better way than higher taxes on the hardest working people in the state.
For more info or to make a donation, please visit me on the web at ThaddeusFreed.com or find me on Facebook at Freed for Illinois, paid for by the Thaddeus Freed Election Committee.
And we're back. Oh, hey, Gary, as long as you're here, please, you know, we want to know what sets industrial hemp apart from plain old marijuana, and why is it safe to have industrial hemp, and psychotropic drugs, you know, are been so bad for everything we've ever heard about since, you know, we were in diapers, essentially. Right. Since there's no psychotropic drugs in industrial hemp, why has the Drug Enforcement Administration been so against its re-implementation as a cash crop? What's their problem?
Well, the big thing, like I touched on it a little bit when we talked about the THC level before there, Don, is the fact that, you know, the level in industrial hemp is, again, that 0.03% compared to the 15 or 20% that's going to get somebody high. I mean, you could smoke a whole football field mm-hmm. of industrial hemp, and all you'd get is one heck of a stomach ache. You wouldn't get a buzz on it, anything, you know. But what happened was it was just another moneymaker for the government. This, again, is our opinions on – not just our opinions, but I think it's substantiated. And General McCaffrey, who was the head of the DEA over all those years, it's a moneymaker. It's simple in fact. It's a real short answer to your question. It's a moneymaker, and the confiscation of ditchweed, and there's still a lot of ditchweed out in rural areas. They still get it. But if they go out there and the money that they could make by confiscating and chopping down that ditchweed – was a tremendous amount of dollars, you know, and they wasn't wanting to give that resource up, you know, and that's personally, I think, is a lot of the problem. And then the fact that it's related to the cannabis family, or it's in the cannabis family, you know, and people still have that stigma, as we talked about with marijuana and mm-hmm. industrial hemp, and that's part of it too. It's just a cousin to marijuana.
Yeah.
And that's where they got off on their tangent.
Well, you know, our paper stocks that are made from trees.
Right.
Old growth trees have been used for paper. You know, forever. Yeah. Well, since we found the Great Northwest, and we've chopped down as much of it as we dared to, is it not more economical to use hemp for something like making paper than it is to making it out of trees?
For one thing, it's economically sustainable. It's a lot more environmentally mm-hmm. friendly, and it's a crop there you're not going to have to go out there and chop down a bunch of trees. And this is a crop that we can annually grow from one year to the next. And the quality, again, and the fiber and the industrial hemp, the quality is probably stronger than the paper that you will get out of making it from trees. So you've got a quality value that's much better. You've got a much more sustainable crop, and you're not going down and harvesting a bunch of trees there. And then it takes them, 20 years or so to grow back, where industrial hemp, you can, next year you're right back in the market again with that.
Yeah, and I've heard that there's like 50,000 products that you can make out of, not just paper alone. And we know of one thing is plastics and biofuels and things like this. What are some of the hot numbers for what you can do with industrial hemp just besides paper? Yeah. I mean, you've been researching this for 30 years now, right?
Yeah, there's thousands and thousands of products like you touched on. But when we was growing our CANAF crop, that's when we got interested in the fiber side of it, because CANAF was also used along with the 25% CANAF. I'll go back to year 2000, 25% CANAF, 25% industrial hemp, and then 50% polypropylene plastics make up in this 2000 Sebring convertible. At that time already had those crops in there, and it was like for interior door trim panels, headliners, dashboards. Those were in that Sebring convertible, and they had at that time 25% industrial hemp in them along with the 25% canab. So that was one, I mean, auto industry is where there's a big market for it, and that's what we focused on. That's another reason why we focused on the fiber crop, because there's a lot more uses than the CBD oils, and that is fine. There's a market there, but, you know, you're limited to that, and eventually I think that market's going to saturate itself. But you've got so many thousands of products. You've got hempcrete. That's another example. And it's as strong as concrete or stronger you can make out of it. And you've got your old standbys, your rope. You got textiles is another market.
You can't buy good old 3/4-inch double braid rope in the United States or made from American fiber anymore, can you?
You can't buy it in the United States. We import like, I think the latest figures I've seen was almost $800 million, I believe it was last year or the year before, that we imported of hemp products, whether it comes from Canada or the EU, or there's 33 other countries that grow the crop legally. They can do it. But we're importing over $800 million worth of products from those countries, and we could be growing that. Just think what the boom that could be for the United States, and especially Illinois, which we really need, as you're well aware of, with the deficit that we have here. And when you look at the state budget, that's estimated to be about $3 billion out of balance, and you've got current unpaid bills of $15 billion, and then you've got the unfunded state pension liability, which is over $130 billion. Now, can you imagine what industrial hemp and the income we could generate from that, how that could help contribute to this state's deficit as far as the income that it would bring in and the people that it would set up in marketing, not just the farmers, but it could set up a lot of people to put up their processing facilities and to market this to consumer out there on the street.
Sounds to me like, it's one of those things where if the state of Illinois were to be able to tax it, they would be taxing it as fast as they could and making sure that they could get it in production faster than any grease lightning is the way it
well,
is.
Well, and that's very true. And that's one reason why we talked about earlier on all these fees that are included in this is to generate income for the state of Illinois. Of course, and everybody's aware of the big push in Illinois from the governor to legalize marijuana. Well, we all know where that's coming from. That's going to that tremendous amount of dollars that's going to bring into the state of Illinois just from the sales and the use of that, you know. And it's all about dollars in the state of Illinois because we're in such a mess. But the fact that's been the most disturbing to our group is the fact that 20 years ago when we started on this road, we said at that time, some of our members said, they'll probably legalize marijuana before they will allow us to grow industrial hemp. And that's very sad, but that's where we're at right now. We're going to have legalization of marijuana. And again, I believe that CBD oils, they're very good. And people, I'm not against that, you know, because there's people that can benefit from that. But the fact that they made such a stink about industrial hemp with a 0.03% THC, and now all of a sudden that's all overlooked and we're going to grow recreational marijuana or whatever. You know,
there's irony there, isn't there?
Deep irony that makes you want to cry, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It does indeed.
More than want to cry, but I can't say what maybe helps.
Yeah, it's a family show. Yeah. Well, okay. You know, we're coming down to the end of this, and it's going to be really important for people individually to help you out. So tell me, how can an individual assist industrial hemp production and development in Illinois? What do we need to do from the hemp roots level? You don't want to call it grassroots, it's hemp roots.
Yeah. Right. No, and that's a good question. I appreciate the opportunity to give my viewpoints on that. And educational meetings, to attend as many of those as you can. And again, as long as we've worked on this, we're by no way experts. We're still learning every day about something, you know, and that's going to be a tremendous learning opportunity. But you've got the educational meetings that are on industrial hemp, and there's one coming up that we're going to try to attend. The first annual hemp symposium in Lexington, Kentucky is April 13th to 14th, and they're going to have speakers not just from Kentucky, who is ahead of everybody else on the hemp growth part of it, because they've through pilot programs out of the 2014 Farm Bill, they was able to qualify for some pilot research programs at universities or Department of Ags, and they was able to grow it. And they've been, you know, a leader in that part of it, but they're going to have not just speakers from Kentucky, but all around who are going to be presenting presentations on that. So I think that's an opportunity. And then become familiar. It gives the individual an opportunity to become familiar with all the benefits of industrial hemp. As we mentioned before, not just the environmental friendly benefits, but it'll also work in a corn soybean rotation, you know, which will help. It takes less chemical, takes less fertilizer. I don't know exactly how much now because, again, we haven't been able to do it. But, I mean, those are things that are definitely environmentally friendly, which everybody's always glad to hear.
Sure.
I join our hemp organization. You know, we'd like to see people have interest in the Illinois Industrial Hemp Association, and that's the one that we talked about earlier. And we are right now in the process of constructing our website and getting it up and running, and hopefully we'll be able to take membership through that in the near future. So those are a few suggestions that I'd have off the top of my head, you know, or think about as far as what you might want to do to keep help promote this industry, because I do think it's got a tremendous potential, and not just for the farming aspect, but for the individuals who want to set up processing plants, the economic overall benefit.
Manufacturing.
And then that there's a tremendous opportunity there too. And you've got fuel also is another crop that I forgot to mention before. There's another product that you can get out of hemp, you know. So there's so many opportunities there. It's just unbelievable. And I guess sometimes some of this stuff makes so much sense that that's why maybe the government doesn't get it.
they don't get it until it's profitable for them, and it's very clear it's profitable for them. Then their eyes are miraculously opened, aren't
they?
Well,
as soon as they see something they can tax, they go, ooh, I like that. Right. And exactly. That's the end of it.
Well, and speaking of, you're going to be at this seminar April 13th and 14th, and that happens to be the same weekend we're having our Earth Day the Owl Creek Way. And so we're hoping that if not everyone from your group gets to go down to Kentucky, you'll have someone free that can come up and have a booth and inform people that come to our event on the 14th that they can actually learn, you know, maybe have handouts, have your website up, ask questions. People that are farmers that are contemplating the idea might have someone there to be able to talk one-on-one with. So hopefully that'll work out that your organization can be represented at our event.
At OwlCreekGazette.com, you can see all the activities, speakers, and presentations planned for this year's event. And as soon as you've got a website, a finite website that we can get people to, and an email address that you can communicate with, we'll get that published for you so that you can at least start gathering some people and some boots on the ground, as it were. Will that do you have any of those things in place yet?
We've got the IIHA. I believe it's .org, but again, this is a construction in making, so I think you could get to it, which is Illinois Industrial Hemp Association. I think you might be able to pull up something on that, but again, last week it's been going through some more updates and everything, and it's all not completely there, so it might be all just might say on there currently under construction, you know,
okay.
But that's
all right.
Eventually what it's going to be is IIHA.org, I think, is what it's going to end up.
So maybe by the April 14th.
Hopefully within the next 2 to 3 weeks, we'll have this finalized on that part of it. So.
And if you can have, like we said, someone there to represent and answer questions, that would be great. And then we've invited you to write an article about all the changes and updates that so the average person would know what's happening when the air is kind of cleared and everything's settled down. So maybe in our May, June issue, you can go ahead and inform people as to how things have worked out for the
well that
the
common period is really important, that's coming due, and the work that you've done could change right away, so we don't know what's where, and we'll find out here in 2 weeks or so, because we're right ahead of it.
Real quickly, if I could mention it, I forgot to mention this earlier, and again we talked about this before we went on the air, but the what we're looking at, our group particularly right now, is trying to approach this thing as cautiously as we can and be careful that we don't jump the gun here just because we want to say we want to put out a crop this year. We're looking at 2019 as being a transition year, getting geared up and get set, because by the time all these regulations get through and all these applications get accepted, it's going to be putting you into May or June before you're going to be able to grow a crop, and that could be very late for some of these products we want to look at. So hopefully we will get it done this year in the proper way, and the 2020 is what we're keying off on as far to be the major year to begin growing industrial hemp. But again, that's our group that's feeling that way, you know.
I think that makes a lot of sense, because like you told us earlier too, if something would happen because of the late growing season and something fails, you don't want the first experience to be failure. You want the first experience obviously to be successful, so people know that this is a crop worth investing their time and money in.
Exactly right, and that's what I would hate for somebody to get turned off who really has a big interest in this crop, and all of a sudden they do everything right, like they was told or like they've learned, and then all of a sudden it bombs on them, and their thoughts about this crop is not going to be very favorable, I would guarantee you that. So we want to try and avoid that too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Gary, thanks so much for joining us today, and I just want to say if there's any way that we can help you, we want to know about it. Give us a call, and we'll be there to help.
We appreciate it, Don. As soon as we get that website up and running, I'll make sure you get the information on that, and appreciate the opportunity to be here to speak today. This is an ever-changing industry right now, and it's going to continue that way on a fast pace.
Well, we'll have you get on every 2 years so you can update us. Hopefully the news will be better and better and better.
Hopefully
each year.
It won't take 2 years to get up. Dated from here on out.
That's right. Okay, thanks for joining us.
Thanks both of you very much.
All right, now y'all take care.
Good night, folks.
Good night.